Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Wednesday. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky. Andy, remember all that stuff that Kevin Durant had been saying and doing and demanding trades, and it was going to upend the NBA and everything was going to change? Never mind. Don't worry about that anymore. What does it mean for the Lakers? That's next.
You are Locked On Lakers. Your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, no matter how or where you get your podcasts. Never behind a paywall, always free. And Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to see all of this. You can even see Andy from inside a real radio studio today. Oh, he's been working over there at 710 ESPN. Want to remind everybody that we will be at the Doer Store on Saturday. This one coming up after Friday, August 27th, 11 a.m., 170 South La Brea, taping.
I'm glad you clarified it was the Saturday coming up after Friday. We don't want any confusion. It's a very big deal.
It's a very important event. And yes. We will be there taping a live episode of Locked On Lakers, a mailbag episode. And it is something that you can participate in if you come to the store. And obviously, you can check out the clothes while you're there. Use our code LOCKEDON15 and buy yourself something nice. But you could also win prizes while you're there, too. Maybe leave with things that are free, which is even better than using our code, to be perfectly honest. If you're there, you can be part of the show. If you can't make it, you can still be part of the show by submitting mailbag questions for it. And if you do that, if you submit something and it is good enough to be used on the show, whether we use it or not, you are eligible to win the second Doer prize pack that we'll be giving out later this week. So again, 170 South La Brea, 11 a.m. on Saturday. If you can make it in, that'd be great to see you. News from Mark Stein that at worst, the second most popular German former Laker could be returning. That we'll get to later in the show. But first, Kevin Durant is not going to be traded. He and the Nets, it was announced today, agreed to move forward together, hand in hand, and try to win a title for the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, I mean, this was something you and I, Brian, have been warning a lot of Laker fans about for a while, because obviously Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant are very connected in terms of whether or not there's a trade happening for either one of them. And Kevin Durant was the theoretical first and most important domino that would fall before Kyrie Irving, I think, would become definitely available, or if nothing else, available in a deal that the Lakers could realistically offer. But today,
for the option to even be there.
Right, exactly. I mean, maybe Kyrie Irving could still move with KD still there, but not in any type of realistic deal that the Lakers could put out there. I think everybody agreed with that. And this was settled today. There was a big powwow between Joe Tsai and Sean Marks and Kevin Durant and Rich Kleiman. And there was a statement put out from Sean Marks that said, "Steve Nash and I, along with Joe Tsai, Claire Wusai, and we met with Kevin Durant and Rich Kleiman in Los Angeles today. We have agreed to move forward with our partnership. We are focusing on basketball with one collective goal in mind, build a lasting franchise to bring a championship to Brooklyn." And it is signed off, Brian. This is fantastic. It is signed off with a Brooklyn Nets logo and a logo for Boardroom. Kevin Durant and Rich Kleiman's show. So that's how you know, Brian, there's a real partnership. That's how you know.
I missed that because I didn't actually see the physical statement. I saw like little reporting of it or this and that, you know, over Twitter over the course of the day while I was working.
Sure, Kevin Durant, you didn't get anything that you wanted. You put out a them or me edict, and our owner, Joe Tsai, chose neither. He chose option C. I'm doing what I want. Show up to training camp. But it is a partnership because the boardroom is behind this.
Well, you know, this is it's a business decision. We are businessmen. These are business decisions, and business decisions are made in the boardroom. I'm focused so deeply.
Funny.
I'm so focused on that detail and the posturing that kind of goes into that. Like, you know, it's okay. Like, I'm just, it's just businessman. Like, you know, there are times, and you and I have defended the player empowerment era, that guys should get everything that they can, that they really ought to be able to extend their branding and extend their lives and their businesses beyond basketball using the opportunities that they have here. But there are times when the recognition of just because you can doesn't mean you should, and the optics of certain things. And I know Kevin Durant pretends not to care about this kind of stuff or whatever, but I find it hard to believe you don't put that on that statement unless you are doing it to kind of flex a little bit.
Well, like, there's
flex your brand, flex your show, flex all that stuff.
It feels like there's a face-saving element here because, again, Kevin Durant got nothing that he wanted in this whole process. As you and I have both pointed out many times, Durant has had no leverage whatsoever. Like, the Nets, none. Like, absolutely none, because nobody believed, I think, or few people believed, there were some people being alarmist, but few people believed that Kevin Durant, certainly you and I did not believe, that he would actually sit out his age 34 season with all the injuries he's dealt with all the work that it took to get back to this point, and knowing just how much the man truly loves basketball, and the idea of he's only got so many more prime years left, the idea that he was going to sit out and lose money age 34 with a team that's actually
That's the point. That is, to me, is the thing. It's not like he's sitting like in Orlando or Washington or one of these teams that got, like, this is a really good team. They've got Kyrie and Ben Simmons, who, by the way, isn't bad. Like, Ben Simmons is really good and very intriguing on this team. And they, you know, they picked up TJ Warren for free, and they've got Joe Harris and Seth Curry and, you know, Nick Claxton. I mean, this is a, you know, I wouldn't necessarily call them the odds-on favorite in the East, but they're in there with Boston and Milwaukee and, like, in Miami. Like, they are right there if everybody stays healthy. So it's not like some garbage team he's trying to escape from. It's a title contender.
Well, it also just, it just seems like, and this is just interesting too, because the Lakers are always a team that is going to be dealing, certainly if they have their way, with superstar politics, because they are a team that is in the superstar business. If we said many times, they are in the star effery business. And it seems like Kevin Durant was the last person to recognize, A, how little leverage he had in this situation, but also, two, the idea that being age 34 with the injury history and also seemingly impossible, not just to make happy, but seemingly unaware of what he even wants to be happy. Like, it doesn't seem like Kevin Durant actually even knows what he wants. So another team could say, you know what? I know he's difficult, but yes, we have what he wants. I mean, there were, Brian Windhorst reported that the Nets weren't even 100% sure why Kevin Durant requested a trade to begin with.
Are we 100% sure that he knows? I mean, I'm not trying to be flip.
That's my point.
What I'm sort of saying. Like, I feel like sometimes,
and that's
going to
lower the demand
for the sake of it.
That's going to lower the demand for him, and explains why Kevin Durant really did not create a sweepstakes. It's just interesting to think about this, especially given how, you know, everyone had been concerned that LeBron was going to try to hold leverage over the Lakers with his extension, and I think he rightly recognized, A, not really worth the effort, and B, what am I holding? Like, what exactly am I holding over them, and to what point?
Right. And what leverage do I have to do it? And,
right,
you know, this is not a good look for Durant, you know, in terms of playing the flex, fire them or trade me. And then what is it? 2 weeks later?
Option C. Nobody's doing anything different.
No. Brooklyn was just like, no. And so, you know, it's funny. Like, we've spent a lot of the summer. We'll get here in a second to how this impacts the Lakers, which is obviously, you know, critically important to the audience of this program. But in terms of the culture of the NBA going forward, this has been a really transformative summer, and, you know, a kind of a transformative 18 months. And if people are talking about, like, a different kind of CBA and a different kind of this, and I think a lot of it just comes down to teams saying no, teams recognizing limits, doing better work to understand exactly where these superstar players are and at what point it is no longer worth caving into their demands. And, you know, the Nets, I guess, if bowled over by a trade, could have done it. If Boston gave them everything they wanted, okay, fine. We'll trade you Kevin Durant and we'll go on with another championship caliber team that's just a lot younger. But that isn't what happened. And so here we are.
Especially when it became pretty clear that Brooklyn was not interested in a teardown. And it seemed like they were just like, look, with everything that we did, all of the efforting to bring in Kevin Durant, to bring in Kyrie Irving, what we sacrificed along the way in terms of players, in terms of our former coach Kenny Atkinson, what we gave up to get James Harden, like all of these different things, we're not going through all that again. So what we want, and the only thing we're going to move on, is, at least for the time being, a trade that helps us now and later. Yep. And if you can't give us that, we're not interested, because this guy's under contract for 4 years.
So the Lakers now are in a situation where it is patently obvious and plain that, at least for now, Kyrie Irving is not coming. Who knows what happens at the deadline, but it ain't happening now. It is not something Lakers can plan for. And what do they do now? Because Kyrie has been option A all summer. It is off the table. What's next? That's next.
So you're hanging out with some friends and putting back a few drinks, and a few becomes a few too many. And as the evening comes to an end, people start to head out. You're thinking of calling a ride, but then you decide, no, I live nearby. I can make it home. It's not a big deal. And look, what are the odds I'm going to get pulled over anyway? And even if I did, what's the worst that's going to happen? My insurance goes up. I lose my license. I lose my job. I total my car. I injure someone. I kill someone. I mean, you can see where this is headed. And everybody knows about the risks of drunk driving. The results are tragic. They're often deadly. And that still, however, does not stop everyone from getting behind the wheel under the influence. And that's why police officers are out there right now looking for impaired drivers on our roads. And that's to save lives. So if you think you're okay after a few drinks, think again. Just play it safe. Plan ahead. Get a ride. It only takes one mistake to change your life or somebody else's lives forever. Drive sober or get pulled over.
Mentioned at the top of the show that we will be at the Doer Store, 170 South La Brea, on Saturday, 11 a.m. for a live taping of the show, a mailbag episode, which we hope you can be a part of. The other thing about this that is exciting for you, hopefully, if you can be there, is to get in the store and understand what it is that we're talking about when we talk about the Doer clothing. And it is, what I love about this stuff is, you know, I like staple items. I like things that kind of have neutrals to them. I can wear them anywhere. I can do anything in them and then add other stuff to my wardrobe. If I want something that'll pop a color, I can do all that. And no matter what I want to do, no matter where I'm going, I can wear Doer clothes and know that I'm going to look appropriate for what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be feeling appropriate because it's lifestyle clothing that adapts to your lifestyle. No matter, you know, I'm at work, I'm out running around with the kids, the stuff all day long. You can wear it. It looks good. It continues to look good, moves with you, is extremely comfortable. And if you go into the store, again, 170 South La Brea, tell them we sent you, use our code LOCKEDON15. You get 15% off everything that you need at the store. But if you can't make it in, and not everybody lives in LA, you go to shopdoer.com, and that same LOCKEDON15 code will work for you. It is some of the most versatile performance clothing that you will find anywhere. And we hope to see you on Saturday. Again, Locked On 15 is the code, whether you use it live at 170 South La Brea in person or online, shopdoer.com. Plan A was Kyrie Irving, Andy. Plan A is off the board. What is Plan B?
Well, seemingly it is either Buddy Hield and Miles Turner in a deal from Indiana that seems like it is there for the taking. There has been no rumor of any other team that has been connected to Buddy Hield, who has been connected to the Lakers going back to last season. It seems like at some point the CBA demands that Buddy Hield gets traded to the Lakers, or they sign him as a free agent. Something
happen at some point. Well, something's going to be here.
Yeah. I mean, Rob Pelinka loves to reunite with former clients, as we've seen with Avery Bradley multiple times, and other ones as well. It would be a nice change of pace to see a client be brought into the Lakers because of a relationship to Rob Pelinka.
I was about to say, he only gets one or two of those slots per year because the rest go to Clutch.
Exactly.
But
I was I was going to say quite the change of pace, yeah. Like in terms of these sort of politics.
Before you get too deep into that, though, I did see somebody comment on the YouTube page on Tuesday. Okay. Like after the news broke. Okay. Time to turn our attention to Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
So for the record, Andy, do you believe the Lakers, now that they are out of the Kyrie Irving sweepstakes, should turn their attention to acquiring Donovan Mitchell?
Well, you got to make the call. You have to make the phone call offering Russell Westbrook and 2 first-round
picks. Do you give up? But you would definitely give up the 2nd first-rounder.
I'd play hardball. I mean, like you try to make it happen without giving up both firsts. But I think ultimately, you know, in the back of your head, we're going to give him up. Yeah. Like, and it's Danny Ainge. He's got a shrewd reputation. You know, the whole Celtics Lakers thing. It at the end of the day, you're probably going to have to give them both up, I think, in order to get Donovan Mitchell.
You might even have to do a couple second rounders.
But speaking of Donovan Mitchell, though, who is not going to be a Laker, there is the idea of the Lakers getting all the ancillary pieces with the Utah Jazz if they do move Donovan Mitchell, presumably to the Knicks, and they go into complete teardown mode. That could be some type of combination of Patrick Beverley, Bojan Bogdanovic, Jordan Clarkson, Patrick Beverley, Rudy Gay, just basically, you know,
Royce O'Neal, perhaps, depending on the timing. Like all
Royce
this
O'Neal's in Brooklyn.
Oh, well, no. That's right. They traded him. That'd be harder to get him now.
Right.
I'm including everybody who's ever played for the Jazz.
Right. But, so you know, basically, you're turning the Lakers into Jazz West.
And that's a depth play. But, you know, the problem with that one, and, you know, to some degree, and we'll, you know, this becomes relevant for the free agency thing that we're going to talk about here in a moment. But to some degree, you know, the Durant being off the market loosens things up a little bit in the NBA in terms of maybe minor deals that might be made or other smaller transactions that could involve teams like the Lakers, who had been waiting to see what happens there. But there still is a bit of a logjam in terms of that while people wait for Donovan Mitchell. And if the reports are to be believed, Utah turned down, I think it was 5 first-rounders from New York, including 2 unprotected, along with Obi Toppin, in exchange for Mitchell. So there's still Utah's still a long way to getting what they want. And we all know how quickly Danny Ainge moves on these things, how just easy he is to deal with. So, you know, if the Lakers are waiting around for that, it could be a little bit. You mentioned the Indiana thing, and we can break that down in a second. I'm really curious to see, though, at this point now, do smaller deals potentially break out? Could you do something more on the margins where you're not moving Westbrook, but maybe there's a team out there that is, you know, is interested in THT or a Kendrick Nunn THT combo or something like that with a first rounder, and keep Westbrook, but we'll give you a forward that you might need more. Something like that where it's not the big deal, but these sort of on the margin deals that could improve the structure of the Lakers roster. Because as we talked about, a guy like THT doesn't have an obvious place in this rotation.
Yeah.
Which is a terrible thing to say about a guy who is your 4th highest player. I'm sorry.
Yes, it is. Yeah, 4th. And it's funny because, as we mentioned before, if you don't have a deal that you like for Russell Westbrook that you substantially think makes you better and would pretty much any scenario involve giving up at least one of those 2 first-round picks, 2027 or 2029, maybe both, depending on what it is. If you don't like those options for Russ, then moving THT makes a ton of sense because his spot in the rotation isn't just tenuous. You're also looking at him almost certainly opting into his, I think, $10 or $11 million for his player option for next season. And then if you want to try to clear cap for that after 2 underwhelming seasons, you might have to attach an asset to THD in order to move him. Yeah.
Oh,
it's brutal. Oh. It is brutal.
Oh.
But
give me the crab juice.
If you can find a team that is, I guess, more interested in the Mountain Dew for the joke that you just made. anybody who gets it, I think, will appreciate it.
Yes.
You might have more of an ability to move THT without having to attach a sweetener to it right now. And it's something they definitely should be exploring. And it's not necessarily as sexy a deal. It's certainly not a deal that is going to solve the issues that come with bringing Westbrook into camp and trying to find a better fit for him. But that doesn't mean that it can't make the team actually better in the process. Even along the margins, it matters.
Anything that they can do to add order to this roster, to bring skill sets that they don't have, to improve. We, you know, I know we spent on Monday's show in terms of the optimism episodes talking about the possibilities for shooting that could be a little bit better than what they currently have. They certainly need more of it. And part of, I mean, honestly, part of the appeal of a Kyrie deal isn't just the scoring and the superstar ability. It's that he's a scorer and a superstar who shoots over 40% from 3-point range. And you know, could maybe bring Joe Harris, who is one of the, you know, when healthy, has been one of the best shooters in the NBA, or maybe Seth Curry or something like that.
By the way, I mean, I saw a great, great tweet from Ryan Russillo, who said that if Joe Harris has a sense of humor, he'll demand a trade.
It'd be so funny. Oh, that would be good. Anyway, so it just this does, I think, a couple of things. Like, so let's take a break and we'll come back. We'll get to this free agency news here in a second, but then I want to find out your thoughts on whether or not you believe this puts more pressure on the Lakers to do a deal with Indiana, even if it means that second first rounder, because it very well may be the only avenue that pops up to make an improvement in this team before the season starts. So that's next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline.net, the fastest, easiest way to check in on all your betting needs for odds, lines, and games. You can find reviews and news of every league, including MLB, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, even golf. After the news that Kevin Durant is going to be staying with the Brooklyn Nets, and presumably that means Kyrie as well, your championship odds updated still has the Boston Celtics at 5-1 as the championship favorites. The Brooklyn Nets have now vaulted up to 7.5-1. The Lakers holding pretty steady at 14-1. Vegas either knows something about a move that may be on the horizon, Brian, or they just think 14-1 odds is just good
enough.
That's
the sweet spot.
Bet Online continues to be the top online resource for all your sporting wagering information, from live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts. They have you covered, so head to Bet Online today. Use your mobile device. Learn more about the action happening today. Bet Online, where the game starts.
Andy was on... I understand the arguments for the Indiana deal, but I thought especially if it came with more players, was preferred the Kyrie deal. Obviously that's not happening. I do not like the as reported versions of the Utah deal, was just sort of flotsam and jetsam and, you know, you're giving up picks. It's just, you know, it's not for me. The Indiana deal is right in between. There is a case that can be made that you are acquiring a young enough player in Miles Turner who should fit, particularly defensively, with Anthony Davis in a front court that is, you know, young enough to age well and give you another piece that's not that next level down from an all-star in Turner, one of the great shot blockers in the league. And now you have a bit more of a foundation. You add a shooter in Buddy Hield, and it's a trade that makes you better. You know, Westbrook and those, you know, going out for those guys improves this year's team. It doesn't completely, you know, mortgage the future because you acquire a player that you have interest in keeping. It gives you a contract and heal that you could perhaps move again. There is certainly an argument to be made that it's a good deal for the Lakers for this season. And some people, you know, our friend Krantzis McBasketball, for example, Tim_NBA, believe it was a better deal than the Kyrie thing. So now that this really seems like the only available option, things that we know about, does it change the appeal of that deal for you?
I mean, you got to think about it, I think, in the sense of A, is that worth two first round picks? B, is it worth two first round picks if they're the only two first round picks you control between now and 2030? Like, that is a long time to go yes. without control of any of first round picks. Obviously, you can trade for something, whatever. But in terms of trying to use them as assets in deals, you lose it all. And that's a different equation if, say, the Lakers had three or four of them. You might look at it and say, all right, you know what? Maybe it's 60, 65, 35 in their favor, but whatever. We're trying to win now. We've still got other assets.
Let's and just so people understand, too, it's essentially a first-rounder to offload Westbrook and then a first-rounder for the other guys.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not Turner. Right. I'm not a huge Buddy Hield fan. I think him as a starter, I'm really not wild about. I mean, he I think would, if nothing else, be the front-runner to start as their three. It'd be very interesting to figure out what exactly the incarnations are with that. Maybe LeBron becomes your point guard. You know, he just lines up as the point if Russell Westbrook's out of there. I'm not sure, but I think Buddy Hield is a
player.
That's
an interesting lineup. You go like LeBron, Reeves, Hield. It's pretty big. Like, you know, in a league that's gone small, it's pretty big, but very mobile for a bunch of big guys. You got floor spacing. Like, I don't hate that.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to end up having to do some defensive cross matchups because you don't want Buddy Hield on your best wing, which could be kind of taxing.
Right, you don't want LeBron doing it. You really don't want any of those guys guarding anyone.
I think you could maybe look at putting protections on at least one of the first round picks. I would also inquire about including THT in there, maybe as a young player as opposed to both first round picks. You know, I would look maybe also too. In exchange for only giving up one first round pick, you take TJ McConnell, and because he's got some longer term money, at least going into 2024, and you help clean Indiana's books in exchanging for only giving up one pick. The idea of giving up two totally unprotected first round picks for that deal, because I don't think a ton of Buddy Hield, I think of it a lot as two first round picks for Miles Turner, in part because of my opinion of Hield, but also I don't think I'm as desperate to move Westbrook as some other people. I can see the logic for it. I would be lying if I thought it's an incredible deal for the Lakers. I'm not saying they shouldn't.
And it's one of these things too, because really what you're doing at that point is you're saying what we think is coming could be better or will be better. Whether that is this offseason, whether that's at the deadline, whether it's what, and that may be true, but I'm increasingly of the mind that I don't know what two first round picks in 27 and 29 gets you. If you don't have young talent to attach to it, if you don't have other things that you can, I don't know what just those two assets really do for you, because it's going to be very hard for teams to predict where the Lakers could be terrible for two or three seasons and somehow rebuild by then and then make those picks worth it, you know, relatively worthless. And so I realized, you know, it's been on the play. I've been torn on this deal for weeks because I don't, especially now, I don't think they're going to do better. Certainly not in the near term.
I don't disagree.
And it's less about that. I do like Miles Turner. They're imperfect players.
I like Miles Turner.
And he's got some injury issues of his own and all this. But, you know, it is not a great trade package that the Lakers have to offer. I mean, I think that's something that people need to understand. It's not like the Lakers are dangling, you know, some fantastic stuff. And, of course, you should be able to get, you know, X, Y, and Z for that. It is not a great trade package. And so I probably would do it just because by the time you get to the deadline, it's gonna be hard to make a deadline deal, I think, that's necessarily better than this one.
This may be the best available deal for the Lakers, and it may not be a bad deal, but that doesn't mean that I have to be excited by it.
Right. No. And you eat into your flexibility for next year, but I think there are ways around that. Like,
I'm not worried about flexibility.
If you're going to try to make your team as competitive as you can this year, again, we've had this conversation where you've gone all in, you're 80% of the way there. No more half measures. You've put yourself in a position where you're pot committed. You might as well just one of us press the button. There we go. I don't know what you're clinging to. I don't love it. I think the chances of it working in the way the Lakers want aren't great. But I also don't know if you have a better option, and I don't know if standing pat is any better. One thing the Lakers, Andy, could do that isn't standing pat is returning, at worst, the second most popular German player to play in the on the Lakers in recent memory, behind Isak Banga, who probably was more popular. Dennis Schroeder, according to Mark Stein, who mentioned this earlier in the summer, is still apparently a live option for the Lakers. They're really kicking the tires on this bad boy.
I mean, A, he does not fill a need at all. You could say that he's a talent upgrade potentially over some of the guards that they have, but he does not fill a particularly pressing need for this team. It is also just a staggering finish and a staggering mismanagement of assets. If you consider that 2 years ago, the Lakers gave up Danny Green and a first-round pick to bring in Dennis Schroeder, clearly did not consider all of the politics that came with him being in a contract year. I think started him when he really should not have been starting in the first place because they wanted to try to retain him. They offered to overpay the bejesus out of him. He turned it down. They ended up losing him for nothing, which led to bringing in Russell Westbrook, which also required somehow, I have no idea, but required a first round pick from the Lakers. Somehow. Dennis Schroeder has since become a veterans minimum player to go from 2 years ago, giving up a first round pick, trying to give a guy $80 million to getting him two seasons later at a veterans
minimum.
And then
getting nothing for him on the way out the door.
Right. Getting him two seasons later on a veterans minimum, two picks lighter, in a way that doesn't necessarily upgrade the roster.
In a world where, as you mentioned before, they might have to attach, it is not inconceivable that you might have to attach a pick to get rid of THT. Like, maybe they would do it to distract from that eventuality. Mm. You know what, if you lay it out like that, if I'm Rob Pelinka, you know what I say? Nine!
I mean, look, there's a certain element of why not. Like, if you think he's better than half the guards on your team, bring him in. I don't think he provides a tremendous upgrade.
Pretty well
though,
for Boston at times, you know.
Enough that they didn't look to get rid of him the minute it became possible. And it should be noted, Boston went on a tear the minute he left the team.
He's not a great culture guy.
No. No.
But yeah, I can't say I'm excited by this. They don't need another guard. If Schroeder, a player of Schroeder's caliber with that same backstory, was 6'9", 6'8", I'd say, and could shoot a little bit or something, I'd say it's different, but he ain't that guy. We'll see what goes on. Again, Saturday, August 27th at the Doer Store, 170 South La Brea. Come ask us some questions, be part of the show, win some prizes. And you could be part of the show anyway, just by asking a question that could be used on the show, win another Doer prize pack. Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to see the show, and we'll see everybody next time.